Thanks, Mary. So, it's an interesting day. It's the first Sunday of February. We have communion coming up. And we're going to talk about love. And like I say, this is not because of the made-up Hallmark holiday of Valentine's Day. I'm not a flower buyer on Valentine's Day. I don't know if I told you. And it's not because I'm cheap, because they jacked the prices up because everybody's got to buy their spouse roses. But it's because if I can't give my wife roses on a regular day, why do I need a holiday to tell me that I need to buy roses? Right? I need to be showing love to my spouse all the time. Not just, oh, it's February 13th, I better order those flowers and let her know that I love her. No. Now, that being said, if you want to buy your spouse flowers on Valentine's Day, I'm not judging. Not judging that you like to pay overinflated prices on flowers that are going to die in a couple days. No, I'm just teasing. But I don't typically buy Stacy flowers on Valentine's Day because I am cheap, and she knows that. But she does get them throughout the year and other gifts. Chocolates, on the other hand, I might buy her chocolates because I also like chocolates. Just kidding. Once again, I'm full of jokes today. Everybody loves chocolates, right? So we're going to talk about what is love. And I put experiencing Father's love, and, you know, I put that because of the communion piece about this. Now, I shared with you guys last time we did communion, I'm going to do communion at different times throughout the service, depending on what's happening that week. Do that for a couple reasons. One, so we don't get complacent and say, oh, let's go through the communion part again, like, it's the same type every week, and we got to make sure we do it this way. I don't want us to do that. Communion is going to be a natural part of our act of worship of life. And it's going to be something that we're due throughout the service on various months or weeks. And hey, there may be some times where we do two communions in a month. Three. Maybe we do a month of communion. If I have a whole bunch of extra, we might. But the thing is, communion isn't meant to be a ritual, is it? It's not a ritual. We're not a ritualistic people. And we don't want to treat it that way. We want to treat it as a celebration. And it sounds really morbid when you think about that, but it's a celebration of what Jesus did. What the Father did for us. That's exciting. He sent His Son Jesus for us. Why? Because He loves us. He loves us. So what is love? When I hear this and when I wrote this, I might sound funny when I say it, but I go back to, like, I think it was the 90s, and there was a song, What is Love by Hathaway, and that has nothing to do with the message. You were thinking, weren't you, Nathan? But what is love? So tell me about love. Oh, you're already on it, Nora. Good job. Tell me about love. Is love an emotion? Is love a feeling? No. But that's what we like to think of it as. That's what people say. Oh, I fell in love with her. Oh, I just love that sweater on you. And as we talk about things like loving the sweater so arbitrary. I love these shoes. I love the way they hurt my feet. No, that is not love. I appreciate how they hurt my feet, but I don't love them. You can't say that your love is based on an emotion either towards somebody. You can't say I fell in love. You don't fall in love. You fall into other things like lust, poor choices, but you don't fall into love. You make a choice to love. You make the decision to love. And we're going to talk more about that in coming weeks. Is love important? I think it's very important. actually, if you look at the songs, and I don't even know if I told Mary, but it's kind of good, kind of cool. I don't think I told her. Most of the songs, we talked about the cross because that's the basis of love for us. Love has a name, and it's Jesus. God is love. Our love is based on something that we cannot physically make up and dream up, but it's based on who God is. It's based on what God did for us by sending Jesus. Then you get into questions that people like to ask, like, am I able to be loved? I've heard people say, I'm just unlovable. No, you're unlikable, but you're not unlovable. How many of us know that unlikable person? We probably all have one. But you know what? We can still love them, even if they're unlikable. Even if they smell like moldy potatoes, we can still love them. Right? Even if they smell like they ate too much beef jerky the other day. Or they act like maybe they drank some toilet water and they're just foul-mouthed and angry at the world. We can still love them, can't we? Because that's what we're called to do. Some of us have said, and maybe not in this room, but we've heard people say, look at what I've done. How could God possibly love me? I have just messed up, made a mess of my life, made a mess of so-and-so's life. How could God possibly love me? Guess what? If you're one of those people that have said that, he still loves you. He loves you. And he's not going to stop loving you. We could take weeks and talk about how he will chase after us, how he wants to be in relationship with us. But we can begin that discussion, end that discussion with one thing. He sent Jesus for you. That ends the discussion right there. How could God love me? Simple. He sent Jesus for you. For you. For all of us, right? Doesn't matter what we think, because that's just our personal perspective. Whose perspective is much greater than ours? But God's. God has this perspective, and it doesn't make sense, but he loves us, and that should be exciting for us. So the Bible speaks of different types of love. Four types in particular: eros, storge, philia, and agape. The four forms of love found in the Bible. And those are Greek words. When I remember I took a class in Bible school back in 1997 or 98, and it was about love, and I thought it was going to teach me how to get a girlfriend. We talked about that. We talked about healthy relationships and stuff like that. But then I came across this word, and I'm like, storg. What is storg? And it was corrected to storge. And then philia, I always think of the cream cheese. Who doesn't love a little bit of cream cheese? But these four Greek words can be characterized by romantic love for eros, family love for storge, brotherly love or friendship love for philia, and then agape, this pure and perfect form of love. So eros. You say eros with me? Eros. See, now you guys are speaking Greek. This is awesome. I could be a professor. No, I couldn't. I really couldn't. The Greek word for sensual or romantic love. So this term originated actually from Greek mythology. The goddess of love, sexual desire, physical attraction, physical love. But the term eros is found in the Old Testament, is not found necessarily specifically in the Old Testament, but Song of Solomon, let's say, vividly portrays the passion of erotic love. It's an interesting love. We're not going to spend a lot of time speaking about it this week, but at some point we will talk about it. I might turn red if I keep talking about it today, so we're not. But it's a very interesting love. And then we have storge, so family love. And it's a term for love in the Bible that you may not be familiar with. See, the Greek word describes family love as affectionate bond that develops naturally between parents and their children, between brothers and sisters, between sisters and sisters. They can fight, yet they still love each other. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes I wish that love came without fighting. How many parents feel that way sometimes, eh? Oh, your brothers are fighting again. I think my boys fight because they love each other. It's like, let's fight because I can get away with it because you're still going to love me and you're going to give me a hug later when I punch you in the nose and make it bleed. Or the girls and they're scratching. But if you look into Scripture, there are many types of family love that can be found, such as this mutual protection among Noah and his wife, the love of Jacob for his sons, the strong love between sisters, Mary and Martha, and the love that they had for the brother Lazarus. It's an interesting love as well, but it's this family love. Now, something I find interesting, and we don't talk about it a lot because we typically, in the church, we call each other brothers and sisters, right? Oftentimes, that's what we call each other. So, in turn, then, we should have storge love for each other. So, Bob could want to run me over with his wheels, but still want to give me a hug and love me as a brother. It's more than a friendly love, like we're going to talk about in a minute here with Philea. But it's a family love here, more than a friendly love. Do you know what I'm saying? We're family as a church body. And I think it's something that we don't often look at because we look at each other as, yeah, we're brothers and we're sisters, but we're friends. And we look at it as a friendly love. There's a deeper love in storge. So then Philea. This is a fun one. It's a type of intimate love in the Bible that most Christians practice toward each other. Now, that's where we normally end it. It does describe this strong emotional bond seen in deep friendships, but beyond that, I think that transitions to storge love in the family of Christ, in the church. I think it needs to if it doesn't. See, philia is a general type of love. In Scripture, it's an encompassing love for fellow humans. It's a love that shows care and respect and compassion for people who are in need. So this is the type of love that I don't necessarily show to my brother. I do show it to my brother, but it's beyond that. It's to acquaintances I show a friendly love. The concept of brotherly love that unites believers is unique, though, isn't it? Because the brotherly love, when we say brotherly love, we transition from philia to storge. Don't we? If you think about it, we're a family. And families are different than friends. I would give much more for my brother, Nick, than I would for a buddy that from work. I would sacrifice more for my brother than an acquaintance. Wouldn't you? Would you? And that's the type of thing that I think we need to embody as a church. I don't know if we need to live out as a church is the philia or the storge love, sorry. We need to live out storge love and treat each other like brothers. I think back to a time number of years ago, I had a friend, and there was a time I would have considered that we had a storge love for each other. I would have given anything. He was a friend, he was a church friend, and it was funny because those are the people you call on when you need something, isn't it? Your brother? And I said, hey, I need your help. I rarely would call on somebody for help. I need your help. I'm leaking gas everywhere. Like, I don't know what's going on. He's a mechanic. I said, can we drive this up on blocks? He's a little smaller than me. He's kind of a scrawny guy. He's even smaller than Nathan. I could say that because we got Storge Love here. But he's a smaller guy than me. And he could easily climb under the vehicle and look at the gas tank and see where this leak is. I had gas leaking all over my garage and I didn't know what to do. Not a mechanic. And you know what? This is where we often miss the point as believers, I think. We said, you know what? He said, I am watching a show and then I think I'm going to go to bed early, so I can't help you. Sorry. Guys, if a brother calls on you, are you not there for your brother? And it may not be something as trivial as leaking gas. It may be, you know what? I really just need a friend to talk to. I need a brother. And you know what? As believers, we need to be there like that. That's an awful snap. Like that. Fast. Because our brother needs us. And when a brother or a sister need you, we should be there, shouldn't we? As believers, we should be living out Storge love within the church. If Erla called me and said, Dave, I need this couch moved, I'd be there. I have friends, on the other hand, we moved 3 times in like 4 years, Stacy and I. And how do you move by yourself? And I have guys that showed up because we didn't get possession of our house till 9 o'clock at night. And on a night that makes today look like a midsummer day, it was about minus 45 and you couldn't feel anything. And all of a sudden these guys rolled up to the house. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Because I thought I was going to do it by myself, because who wants to help somebody move? You know what? Those guys did. They showed and exhibited Storge love, brotherly love. They were there for me, their brother, when I needed them. And yes, sounds something trivial, but do you understand? Those little things, if they can be there in the little things and the great things, it's amazing. Those little things are what starts binding you together in Storge love. When we need to do something like Meals on Wheels, and this had nothing to do with my sermon, we need to bind together, join together, and get the job done, don't we? We have lentil lunch, I think it's called, in March. We need to bind together and make some soup. Soup and sandwiches, I think, is what I was told. Trust me, you probably don't want me making the soup. It might be a little spicy. It might turn into chili. But we're going to bind together as a body, as brothers and sisters, and unite, join together, and accomplish something together, right? Because we're a family. Not just friends, but we're philia. So then the fourth type of love we read about is agape. I don't know, maybe you guys don't know what I'm talking about, but I remember when I was a kid, the Music Machine. Anybody ever listen to those tapes or records? Yeah. Music Machine? Anyone? Yeah? Funny stuff. If you have, Gary, YouTube it. Music Machine. It's had Mr. Conductor, but he had a song about agape love. And it was one of the first times I heard about agape love and really understood it from that song. If I would have been on my toes, maybe I'll play it next week. We have it on our iTunes, so. But it's the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. And this term defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for us, humankind. It's a divine love that comes from the Father. It's a love that we struggle with, I think, at times. And that's why we ask the questions of how could God love me? Because we don't have a full understanding, do we? And that's something we really need to grab a hold of. Agape love is perfect. Agape love is unconditional. It's a sacrificial love. It's pure. God loves us when we make mistakes. Do you believe that? When we screw up and really make a mess of things, God still loves us. He's not happy necessarily about what we did, but he still loves us. I know as kids, I know me as a kid, there would be times in my house where I would mess up and trash something or wreck something, and I remember being like, oh, I got to hide from Dad because he's not going to love me anymore. And I remember as a kid, and not even being true, but that's where your mind goes first thing is, oh, now he's going to hate me. Now I'm going to take a licking. No, the licking was never the purpose was to hurt you or to tell you I don't love you anymore, but it's to tell you I love you, and this is the purpose. The discipline is the purpose to showing I love you. This is how we're going to correct you. It's not, I don't love you, get out of my face. It wasn't a backhand, but that's the best thing I could do to make the slapping sound, the discipline sound. It wasn't, get away from here. Get away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. God, when we mess up, God didn't say, get away from me. I don't want to deal with you. No, God doesn't say that. God is not like that. God is not arbitrary like that. He says, come to me. I'm going to love you. I love you still. I want to correct your path. I want to lead you down the right path to goodness, where you and I are connected and united. That's where God wants to go. He doesn't want to say, get out of my sight, I don't want to see you. Sometimes, though, we have that perspective for some reason because we think of discipline as a negative, don't we? See, God has this pure, perfect love for us. And Jesus Christ demonstrated this kind of divine love to his Father and to all humanity when he died for us. But not even that. He showed this when he lived as well. His life was an act of love. Everything he did was an act of love. Al, can you come here? Nathan, you can help me too. We'll do the, we'll handle communion while we're talking here. Don't start taking it. We'll go through the process here. Go ahead. You guys can distribute them. It's an unmeasurable love because Jesus died for us. It's a divine love because he died for us. It's something that we could not accomplish on our own, this reconciliation. See, we all want to love and we all want to be loved, don't we? Can I see your hand? Put your hand up if you want to be loved. Or you want to love someone. Now, okay, that's too hard for me to count. So let's do this. Put your hand up if you don't want to be loved. Wow, we all want to be loved. All of us want to love and be loved. Thank you. You got one? Thank you. We all want to love and we all want to be loved, don't we? So, if that's the case, that means that there's a purpose. Now, here's the next question of that. Who do you want to love like? Do you want to love like Joe down the street, or would you rather love like Jesus? Because he's the example and the epitome of love. He's the example. He came and lived his life. He sacrificed for us. And he was the sacrifice for us. He died for us. That's something that I think we should all aspire to love like. See, what does Christian mean? It's like, it means we want to be imitators of Christ, doesn't it? We need to imitate Christ in all that we do. We need to be like Christ in all that we do, including loving. So we want to be generous. We need to be forgiving. We need to be compassionate enough to love people unconditionally. Like I said earlier, that unconditional love, it doesn't mean you have to like them. We don't have to like Uncle Bill. But we have to love them, don't we? no matter how hard some people make it to like them or love them, we need to still love them. Because guess what? There was probably a time if we could have been talking to God and said, when we were messing up and doing things wrong in our life that weren't following him, where we could have been figuring, you know what? If we were God, this is, I don't really like you. Get away, get out of my sight. But no, what did God say? Come to me. I want to get to know you. I sent my son Jesus for you. In turn, we need to show that same love to others. When they're annoying you, just come. Let's just talk. Let me just share God's love with you. Let me just be loving to you. Sometimes we usually do fall short because our humanness does get in the way. See, we as people, we can love, right? We're all capable of loving somebody. We're all capable of loving people. But we can't always do it perfectly. That's where the love of Jesus comes in. The love of the Father. How much love does he have for us? A lot. So much he sent Jesus for us. So much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. So much that he allowed Jesus to be beaten and bloodied for us. What is love? What does love look like? We're going to talk a lot more in depth next week about love. But what does love really look like? We're going to read 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read about what love looks like. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 34 says, For I was received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When you read that scripture, when you read that verse, it's for you, Bob. It's for you, Erla. It's for you, Gary. It's for you, Dave. It's for you. It's for you. Why? Because he loves you each, and he called you by name. He loves you. He loves you so much. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. If he does not judge the body rightly, for this reason many among you are sick and weak, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will come together. We will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. So, once again, even there, we read about being disciplined so we're not judged. See, in the end, this is about reconciling. This is about coming together as a family and joined together to be with God. He doesn't want us to be separate from him. He loves us too much. He loves us so much, and he just wants us to make sure that we're in right standing with him. So let's take a moment and just check our hearts. And I've done this the past number of times, and I just ask that we do it again, because I want to give you guys an opportunity to check your hearts as well. I need to check my heart. We all need to do it. We need to do it daily. But let's take a moment and let's just check our hearts. Just close your eyes and just ask Father to reveal it if there's anything you need to give to him.
Thank
Father, I pray that you will bring to our mind anything we need to repent of. Father, you want right relationship with us. Not because you're a vengeful God, but because you love us and you want to be with us. And we thank you for that. So God, we ask for your forgiveness, Father, if there's anything that we've done trying to be secretive or be in private, Father, we give it to you. You're a good God, and you love us. And Father, we give these issues to you, whatever we're holding in our heart, whatever we're blocking, Father, they're yours. Thank you, Father, in your name, amen. So Scripture tells us, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's partake of the body together as a family. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Let's partake of this covenant together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross, and we thank you for loving us that much that you sent Jesus to die on that cross for us so that we could be reconciled to you, so you can show another way how you love us, Father. Father, we thank you for the love that you sent. We thank you that love has a name, and it is Jesus. Jesus, thank you for taking our punishment. Thank you for loving us that much that you would take the beatings, that you would take the death on the cross for us. Father, you took what we deserved, and we thank you for sending Jesus to take that. Jesus, we are so thankful for your willingness to sacrifice and be a sacrifice. We thank you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Father. Thank you for your guidance. Be with us this week as we reach others and show Philea love to others. God, be with us this week as we share Storge love with our brothers and sisters in this church and in other churches. Father, this week, allow us to have a better understanding of agape love, the pure love that you give us. Thank you, God, that we are lovable because you love us. God, you're amazing. God, you're good. And God, you deserve our worship and praise. Amen. Guys, have a good